Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is a dear friend, Kate. Kate lives in the greater Sydney area. She's a dear friend of mine. She's a fellow investigator, and she has an interesting perspective on a lot of the things that we talk about on the show, both at a surface level as well as an expanded cosmic multidimensional perspective. So, without any further ado, Kate, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. Well, Kate, we've known each other for some time now. Before we get started, I just want to say it looks like Donald Trump won the election in America. And, for what it's worth, I'm relieved about that. It's better to have him
Yes.
in there than to have these crazed leftist communists and having to see these whack job spokespeople for the Biden White House, et cetera, for another 4 years. So hopefully enough people will come into the administration and eject a lot of the crazed leftist Bolsheviks that are currently in all these bureaucracies and all these federal agencies, move them out and put real soul-embodied humans in their place. So I just wanted to put that out there because what happens in America is going to have a manifold effect on everything that's going on throughout the world. What are your thoughts on that or anything else, Kate?
I am relieved that Trump has won. I've also been a little bit scared because of the cheating and what they'll do over the next couple of days. But no, I'm relieved. I would definitely have been voting for Trump if I was a US citizen, that's for sure.
And it remains to be seen what's going to happen for political people that have any class and decency, which the Democrats don't have. They would have a conciliatory speech. Trump is our president. Let's follow him. Let's, reconcile. Let's put all the differences aside, et cetera. I don't expect anything like that from the Democrats. In fact, if anything, hate to be sounding glass half full here, but it's quite possible that the demon rats will, instead of encouraging people to come together, they may put out a call to arms, so to speak. But at any rate, it's better to have Trump and the Republicans in there because there will still be false flags, there will still be deep state activity. Hopefully, we can avoid an expansion of these wars, but like you said, I'm relieved that these whack jobs are not in.
I think I read that Kamala was already throwing tantrums and refusing to come out and address her crowd.
Yeah,
So that's not surprising, or she's,
cardboard cutout crowd of
backstage
about
drunk.
12 people. A cardboard
Yeah.
cutout crowd of about 12 people. It's
Yeah.
insane. What we've seen in the last 4 years. It's clear with the benefit of hindsight being 2020, they stole the election, and that enabled the rollout, the lockdowns, the masking up, the social distancing. All that only became possible because they did the lockdowns, they did the mail-in ballots, they cheated with the ballots. We know that whole backstory, but it's clear now that what the deep state working through their Bolshevik Democrats had in mind the previous 4 years was to just really just to level everything out and just to bring the quality of life and the standard of living down to like the lowest point that I've seen. I'm going to be 60 years old tomorrow. This is the lowest point I've ever seen the economy all across the board now. So, I mean, I look at it from a glass half full perspective. Things can only get better. Let's hope,
Yeah.
right? There's nothing wrong with hoping.
I agree. It's been a draining last few years. Honestly, it's like the magic has just gone from everyone's eyes. We've all just been trying to survive. And it's just been a nightmare. I've always looked at politics because I'm still not I have my concerns. I definitely like Trump. I like Trump before he was president. So if that's not the issue, I do have my concerns around politics all the time, but the way I've always looked at it is the best person won, the best team won. And as long as they get us over the hump and a little bit further ahead, I don't know. I would like to see it, but I don't know if there's one person that can take us all the way to the finish line. And that's okay as long as we keep getting further and further towards, being free of this cabal and the situation that we've been living under, because it's just been hell on earth.
It's been draining. It really has been. And the uncertainty, the anxiety, of course, not all of that, all of that is not just going to go away because Trump is president, but at least we won't have the in-your-face lunacy, Luciferian. It'll still be there. They're still going to push that, the deep state will, but it will not be, I would like to think, not as normalized, because what we've seen, Kate, is all the monsters of the id, all the monsters of the subconscious, all the monsters of the nether dimensions, they came out in full blossom in the time of the Democrats. Every kind of scary, sadistic, clown world, nightmarish vision that we have was put into our faces and imposed upon us. And that was not just the deep state talking. That was this dark, Luciferian, demiurge element. And I'd like, from your perspective, because you've lived in places like Sydney, big metropolitan place, King's Cross, that whole nightlife, mafia kind of underbelly kind of cabal, and how it's actually the outward facade of this whole reptilian overlordship that we've been talking about. Tell us from your perspective just what you've seen as far as this multi-headed hydra, this reptilian Luciferian manifestation, how it's played out in the last several years, and what you see of it going forward.
I'll just start with a bit of my background, so that people know where I actually come from, who I am. So I was raised in the spiritualist churches from the age of four, and spiritualism was an actual religion. I think it still is in England. My mum was a member of the spiritualist churches, and she used to take me when I was quite young. Spiritualism was before New Age. New Age is sort of like a commercial spin-off. But spiritualism was about mediumship and developing psychic abilities, giving proof of survival after death. So, we would go to church and we would have, there would be a part in the church where they had a 10-minute healing meditation, and the healers in the church would come and lay their hands on people who were sick or something was wrong. We had psychic development groups. So it was kind of encouraged with children who had psychic gifts, and that was me. We were encouraged to develop that. So we were sitting in circles with more experienced psychics and mediums, and we were taught to develop that as far as we could, basically. So from the age of four is when I can remember I was going to church every week, the spiritualist church. All my mum's friends were psychics and healers, and they pretty much, my mum ran groups from our house. And probably around, I would say, the 80s, 1980s, my mum started getting into David Icke and the reptilian narrative. And so did, her groups. So they were sort of, doing this whole Pleiadian thing and running groups in regards to that, UFO abduction. So I was around all of that, well, pretty much my whole life. I don't remember, I don't think I wasn't around it ever. So that was just my world that I thought was normal. Even my doctor was, I often wonder if he went to America and met your friend. I'll get to that in a minute. But my normal GP, was actually threatened after a while. They were going to take his license away because he was treating people holistically, doing healings and crystal meditation and making up, he did, kinesiology, was making up bark flower remedies. And he was also part of my mum's group, with the UFO abductions. And he ended up going on a trip to, the US around that time. And he met some people over there, and I don't remember who he said they were. It was a group of people. And that's when he came back with all the reptilian stuff and the UFO abductions. He sort of got even more into that. So I often wonder if he somehow connected with Barbara Bartholik and your sort of crowd at the time, because he pretty much came back full on into all of exactly the same sort of thing. How my mum met him is my mum was also a Tai Chi instructor. So she was part of a big Chinese Tai Chi and martial arts academy. So from the age of, I would have only been probably 5 or 6, I had the spiritual teachings that I was getting at the spiritualist church. And then I also had the Eastern philosophy because I was around the Chinese people all the time. So because I was the youngest, I went everywhere with my mum, and I had to go when she taught classes, and I had to go to big conventions they had with the academy. So I was around all these Chinese masters, you know, these 90-year-old masters that were doing the 1-inch punch. And of course, Chinese people love the little white girl, so I was fussed over, and I just thought, you know, they were amazing. And I learnt a lot from them in that respect as well. So I had these two different spiritual avenues that I was kind of learning alongside each other. And so that was pretty much my background. And I was very psychic as a child, and it was very encouraged. I had, you know, dreams of plane crashes, and then it would happen and things like that. But I always knew when something was going to happen. I was very sensitive, very shy. I could hardly even, I hated school because I didn't like to be singled out. You know, when the teacher says, "Oh, who's got the answer to this? Kate," I would be like down the back like this. So I started pretending I was sick all the time so I didn't have to go to school. But yeah, I just pretty much stayed home. I spent a lot of time on my own talking to spirits. You know, my mum had two jobs. She would work in the day, and then she'd go out and teach Tai Chi at night in her classes. So I would be at home speaking to ghosts. That's pretty much what I did, was spoke to spirits. And yeah, so just to set the background, that was pretty much my life. I was a very sensitive person, and obviously when I got to teenager, I didn't want to be that way. I started to feel envious of my friends and other people that didn't have the psychic abilities like me, because they were able to be, you know, doing the wrong thing and just being teenagers and not overthinking it. They just seemed happier because they were oblivious, and here's me like overthinking everything, and I got constant chatter in my head. So I started to not like it, and I never told anybody about it. So none of my friends knew that I was still going to the spiritualist church. They knew I had strong intuition because I would say things and it would happen, but they didn't know how much I was into it. I kept like two separate lives in that respect because it wasn't accepted back then until New Age came along, that it wasn't mainstream. You were like part of a cult, you know? And so yeah, it was this was kind of became like a shame where I didn't want it and I really wrestled with it. And I think that's when I started, you know, going out with my friends and drinking and trying to drown it out. And that's when I moved to, you know, the inner city and yeah, I saw the dark side firsthand and very sort of close up. And a lot of what I saw when I was living there, I was living in, what would King's Cross be the equivalent to in America?
Well,
Or similar
someplace like
to?
in San Francisco, that would be like the Tenderloin District. In New York, it would be like Times Square kind of place, just a
Yeah.
nightlife kind of place where people would
Yeah, so
go and party and.
it was open 24 hours. So that's what attracted young people is, you know, it just never closed. So, you know, when I was living there, I met a lot of rich people, to be honest, a lot of people with money, and they were the ones that were more into dark things, more so than, you know, someone from a lower socioeconomic area. And that surprised me. So I, you know, I would meet people there and you just get this sense that they were like snarling vultures. And I think I've told you about this before, that there were some things going on with where I think they use sex magic and they have these sex parties as well in these elite circles.
And it's all in the news now with the whole the Diddy freakout parties and what have you. This
Yeah.
is in a way, it's like a Sydney, Australian version of that.
That's right. Yeah. But it's not, it's just a lot of rich people that you wouldn't, you know, the, you know, those sort of, news shows and that type of thing. So it's not just musicians and, you know, actors and people that you would think. So I think that's what surprised me because I met somebody that was heavily into it and I couldn't believe the things that I was being told.
You mean like news presenters, people like that?
Yeah,
And
so
what were the things that they were telling you, if you don't mind?
It was going to big kind of what do they call those? Yeah, like a sex party. And it, you know, the guy paying someone with cocaine to sleep with his wife and they film it, that sort of thing. Yeah. That's just the tip of the iceberg with it. But yeah, it was quite shocking that it was, you know, presentable sort of, you know, people I just wouldn't expect. So I just remember, I don't know how I survived because I was always very different. I was around that dark area of the cross, but I never got into those types of things. And, you know, I could see it, probably my intuition, I guess. I could just see the evilness in people, and especially the men. The older men were just entity infested, and you could see the how predatory they were. I mean, it's today, the way people are today is nothing compared to what it was back then because there wasn't this politically correct and you could sue your boss if he made advances at you. You know, you just had to put up with it. So there was a lot of creepiness and a lot of darkness around there. But I feel like I survived and I didn't sort of go too far down. I did get into drinking and that sort of thing because that was a way of drowning out my psychic abilities that I found overwhelming at times. I've had sort of an up and down relationship with that, and I have worked as a psychic on and off for probably the last 20 years. So yeah, my experiences with the cross, we'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. In the R-rated version, because that's just.
Well, that's fine. And getting back to the spiritualist group, I know in America and also in Britain, at the dawn of the 20th century, early 1910s, 1920s, etc., spiritualism was big. Theosophy was big. I'm not saying that theosophy made up the totality of the spiritual movement, but it because it didn't, but it was a part of it. Were there any of those teachings of Theosophy, Alice Bailey, Blavatsky, etc., did any of that filter through into your mom's group, or did your mom do an entirely different thing?
I think there were. No, I don't think so. Not that I can recall. Believe it or not, my mum was very much believed in Jesus. And I know she used to, I mean, at our church, it was all denominations were welcome. So you could be a Christian and you were welcome. And a lot of the readings that they would do would sometimes be out of the Bible. They would be about Jesus and things like that. So they weren't Christians, but they weren't anti-Christian. And I think what happened was when New Age hit around the sort of 80s, 90s with Louise Hayes and her publishing label made that huge, it attracted a lot of entrepreneurs. So a lot of businessmen and corporate people, because they saw money in it. You could write a self-help book and make money and that sort of thing.
I remember
So it attracted.
when Shirley MacLaine's book came out on a Limb. It was just, and then in the heels of that, a little later, you got the Celestine Prophecies and et cetera. So yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Please continue.
And it just turned into big business and it attracted a whole different load of people. I've always felt like, I mean, don't get me wrong, at the time I was so excited because I'd been in this hidden cult my whole life and now it was cool, everyone was wanting to get into it. And so I was excited around that age as a, sort of young teenager, young adult, because it was finally out in the open, so I thought. But the more I went through it, and the more people I met, and I worked as a psychic, so I met other people in the business as well. The more I went through it, the more I started to realize it was a bit of a psyop. And I started to see it as, not the same as spiritualism at all. I wouldn't even put them in the same category. It just became very commercial, money making, attracts a lot of flaky people, that don't want to work or do anything, and they've worked out, they can earn sort of good money. And I think it's just a, and that's not to offend anybody that's in that field. I'm in that field. But some people, have just decided overnight that they could be a healer or some type of guru. And I think that's where the problem lies, because you can't. It's not for everyone. Not everyone is going to, be that wise or have the wisdom to be really teaching and coaching other people, have the discernment. You've got to know. As I see a lot of these young girls, become psychics now, and they buy a pack of tarot cards and they think that's what being a psychic is just wearing some flowers in your hair and doing some tarot cards. It's become a costume, like a what do you call those? Oh, what's it called?
You mean
When
like a,
someone.
well, like a facade, like a getup,
Like
basically.
a cosplay, that's the word I was looking for. It's become a character, like a costume. And I remember when I was working as a psychic, and I'd been a psychic my whole life, and people would walk in, especially men, and they'd go, "You don't look like a psychic." Like I had to be wearing a costume or a particular
Yes, because
look,
you didn't fit
because
their
that's
image.
Yeah, that's what it was starting to teach people. Whereas when I went to the spiritualist church, no one wore boho stuff and flowers in their hair. And, it wasn't you had to look a certain way that you wouldn't have even known. It was just an average person in jeans and a t-shirt was one of the top psychics there. No one, they weren't wearing some kind of gypsy look. And I'm not putting that down if that's who you are authentically. But I think a lot of people just kind of, like the spiritual starter kit went out and brought a few crystals and dressed a certain way. I think it's just sort of sent the wrong message, New Age, and it kind of cheapened what I grew up seeing a lot of psychics and mediums who trained and worked very hard. And in, how I was trained is not to use cards and things like that. We were just trained to be remote viewers, psychic with nothing. And I would see people stand up and do that and demonstrate that. So I think that's dying now because we've got the internet and there's just a sea of people doing all these new age things. You've kind of lost the people that were really good, really authentic in a lot of ways.
They got lost in the shuffle. And one
Yeah.
thing, and I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm not into simplistic generalizations. Anyone who knows me, but what I've seen sometimes, and again, this is not across the board, but it seems to me that at least some in the New Age psychic community, a lot of them really have no clue as to what's going on in the world as far as geopolitics is concerned. As far as the New World Order agenda, as far as the deep state, they seem to be oblivious to that. And then they also seem to get, out of whack or put out of joint when anyone brings up such issues. It's almost like, oh, that's too negative. You have to keep everything positive and keep a positive vibe about everything. And what I saw during the lockdowns, the ones who were flocking to the stabination centers, treatment centers, so-called, a lot of them were these new age psychic types, the ones who were always telling me not to be fear-based. And keeping in mind what you said about the contrast between the real spiritualist movement that you were a part of, and I must remind the listeners and the viewers, General Patton, George S. Patton Jr. He came from a family of spiritualists. That's how he was raised. And like your mom, he was also deeply emotionally, spiritually invested in Jesus Christ and the Bible also. So he was not just a spiritualist and a psychic, but he also believed in Christ. So it's not mutually exclusive. It's not incompatible. Edgar Cayce is a classic example of someone who was quite psychic, but someone who read the Bible forwards and back many times. When you began to see the inroads that the New Age movement was making, did you start to see also kind of like a dark infiltration take place? Because what I see a lot of times in the New Age movement, this has been going on for decades now, as you know, there are males in particular who present themselves as gurus, as healers, but they're very predatory. Not only are they lecherous in the physical, but some of them have quite advanced astral psychic abilities. They can remotely astrally rape women. I
Yeah.
call them astral raptoids. From your perspective, and I think you can see entities when they overshadow people, right? You can see
Yeah.
when someone is a host. From your perspective, did you begin to see this darkness start to come into the New Age movement?
Yeah, so what I was saying before, where I'm convinced it's a psyop, is because if you notice spiritualism, and when I tell people I'm a psychic, I think I was on a show a couple of years back, and I remember some of her listeners, when they found out she was going to have a psychic on the show, said they're not going to watch because they're Christians and they don't agree with it. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I understand. But like I said, we used to read from the Bible and pray to Jesus and things like that. What they're thinking of is New Age was the one that stamped out Jesus. If you think about it, everything became the universe. So they weren't praying to God, was I'm going to ask the universe. The
Or just to
universe.
interject for a second, Christ consciousness, which became a
Yes.
whole other thing entirely.
Yeah. Or he became a Pleiadian that was driving a spaceship or something in a lot of areas too. So I think it's, to me, that's when I noticed a darkness come over. Don't get me wrong, there were some creepy men that used to get into the spiritualist movement as well. And ironically, they were always healers that wanted to touch you and do their magic. But for the most part, most of them were quite harmless. Like I said, the really predatory behavior I saw come in with New Age because it attracted a lot of entrepreneurs. And I know this for a fact because a lot of them ended up becoming my clients and they were multi-millionaires. They were multi-millionaires before New Age, and then they decided to write some self-help books and make even more money. So that's when I really got to see, and they weren't nice people, and they were writing, some famous books that people were following. So that's when I started to see it was really attracting the wrong type of person. And I saw, especially in women, I'm not even going to sugarcoat this, I probably saw the most evil entity infested in other women while being in New Age, because I worked in some New Age shops and I worked doing sort of retreats and things like that. And the women, some of the entity-infested women, and they were women who had, been working in real estate their whole life and then just decided when New Age hit that they're now a medium. So I think if you're coming from a background, and I just want to clarify, if these descriptions match anybody that's listening, I'm not talking about everyone. It's not a blanket statement that everybody, that dresses like that or has that same sort of thing is who I'm referring to. But I'm referring to particular type of people that I've come across, and there were a lot of them. And I copped a lot of nastiness, a lot of nastiness from other women especially. And I think it's because they knew I was authentic. I came from an authentic background in it, and I knew what I was talking about. And that sometimes throws up a mirror, and it also brings out the entity inside them, doesn't like it. So I was targeted by a lot of people. And I think I told you one time I was working in this shop years and years ago, and I had this client come in, this woman, and she just looked like a mum, like a regular middle-aged mum, like a librarian type looking woman. She came in for a reading, and when she sat down, she started spewing out this hatred that she's got all these problems with people at work and they're picking on her and she doesn't like these people at work. So what she does is she conjures up these satanic spells at home and she sends demons to attack them. And
He told you this.
sorry.
He told you this.
Yeah, she told me this woman, the client. So she told me she sends these demons to attack these people at work. And I said, I remember I stopped and I said, listen, you can't do that. You've got to, that's not for you to do things like that. You're messing around with the wrong thing and it's going to come back on you. And she got really angry with me. And I said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut this short. I wasn't happy with her in my presence because she was dark. And I said, sorry, we're not going to go any further. Anyway, she got really angry and left in a huff. And it was 2 nights later, I was asleep, and my daughter at the time was only young, so she was a like toddler age. And she would often, like little kids do, they get scared at night and they run into your room. So I'm asleep in the middle of the night and I'm a very light sleeper. Anyone would, I can hear a pin drop. Anyway, I felt this presence next to the bed, like someone standing there, and it felt quite small, like a small child. So being half asleep, I've pulled the covers over thinking it was my daughter, and I've pulled the cover over to let her in. And next thing I just, everything went black and I was pinned to the bed and there was this black winged creature sitting on my chest and it was breathing into my face. And I was pregnant at the time with my second child, and it was pinned me to the bed, breathing in my face, and it was trying to extract something out of my mouth that I felt like was my baby. And it was like sucking it from my mouth. And I remember I was shaking my head and screaming, but nothing's coming out. You know how they kind of silence you and they put you in some weird state. So I'm trying to get this thing off me. It was a proper black creature with wings. And I remembered when I was young, my mum always said, you say you're not from the light, I don't accept you, you're not from the light. So in my head, I'm going, you're not from the light, I don't accept you, you're not from the light, I don't accept you. And then all of a sudden, it just got ripped off me. And everything went quiet, like dead quiet. You could have dropped a pin. I could just hear my heart pounding. And I've sat up and I turned the light on. I couldn't sleep for ages. But I know that woman sent it because she was angry. And probably because I was pregnant, my defenses were a little bit lower than usual. Which I shouldn't have been working at that state. But yeah, that's just some of the nastiness that I've come across, the entity infested people that seem to be attracted to this. So I can understand why some people have a view, that it's evil or whatever, because it is attracting a lot of dark people, a lot of egos, people that want to feel special and think they're special, and maybe they're not in any other aspect of their life. So there's a lot of clashes of egos all the time. It's not been a pleasant experience. So I've had a very difficult time being who I am, having this gift, and I don't raise my children to be psychics for that reason, because I'm not saying I'd give it back because the experience has made me who I am. But it's been a very difficult life. I've had a very hard life and a lot of lessons that I've had to sort of go through the hard way. And a lot of it has been, just being as sensitive as I am, being psychic, being raised this way, not being raised in the real world in a sense. I kind of lived in the spirit world, so I made a lot of mistakes and had to learn the hard way how to be a human. I didn't know how to be a human and do things in the real world, so I made terrible choices. It was a hard way to be, in all honesty.
Was there a point in time when you accepted the fact that this is who I am, that it won't be a struggle, that you wouldn't need to rely on self-medication, so to speak, to kind of blot that thing out? Because I remember when I was younger, I was having a lot of experiences, and of course, I didn't have the context or the level of understanding that I do today. Not that I've got it all figured out, I don't, but I know a lot more today than I did then. And if I had a choice between being completely sober and just cowering underneath my bed sheets or being blind drunk in the room spinning around, I would most definitely back then have opted for the latter, because whatever was out there, even in a drunken stupor, I could feel these presences. I could see in my mind's eye these hideous faces appearing in my mind's eye, what have you. So I understand, and Barbie talked about this all the time, Barbie Bartholik, that this is why a lot of people self-medicate, is because they're having experiences and they don't know how to quantify or understand it. So around what age were you when you finally accepted that this is who I am? I was brought up this way. I accept who I am, and consequently felt a lot better about yourself, probably.
I would say it's been off and on. So probably once I got into my 20s, because I also studied acting at a full-time performing arts academy in the city as well. And so there were my mum was always, no, you're supposed to be a psychic. That's you've got a gift, that's who you are, you're supposed to be a psychic. I don't want to be a psychic. I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to be this. So I tried to do everything but be a psychic. When I got married, when I was quite young, and I think I told you, did I tell you I married a Mormon missionary? So I've had a lot of exposure to different religions. So there was my spiritualism, also the Chinese philosophies. My first husband was a Mormon missionary, so he'd actually done a mission in Hawaii, and his parents were very strict Mormons. So obviously, through these moments, I wasn't practicing as a psychic. The parents used to send the missionaries around to my house to try to convert me to join the church, which never happened. And eventually, we went our separate ways and had nothing in common. But this is what I mean by just the choices that I made. I just think I was trying to run away from the voices. I'd had a lot of entity attacks as a kid in the house. There was this one instance, this was really bad, probably one of the worst demonic entities that I've experienced, because the really bad demonic entities, they don't actually have a form. So they're just a mass. Have you ever seen that?
One of the forms the Draco can take, and the reptilians as well, is a dark amorphous mass above me, kind of like a dark amorphous cloud, for lack of a, like a black cloud, for lack of a better term. I'm not saying that that's what you saw. I'm saying that some of these creatures that go bump in the night have the ability to manifest and appear in this way.
Yeah, well, that is what I saw. And this mass, this black, actually it was brown. And I would describe it when I was a child, this thing was chasing me around the house. So I would go to sleep and I would face the wall. So I'd have my back because I didn't want to see out. And I would face the wall. And this thing, I could feel its breath would start like speaking in my ear. And it was speaking another language. I don't know if it was like Latin or it wasn't English. So it was really creepy. And it would speak this thing. And I remember I would count to three. I'd say in my mind, okay, I'm going to count to three and turn around. And I'd count to three and then I'd turn around and it would disappear. But then it would sometimes stand in the doorway of my room. And sorry, that's my dog. Someone's got a motorbike out the front. It would stand in the doorway of my room and not let me out. I would have to run through it to get out. And it would be this big brown sort of wavy blob. Like it didn't have a form, and it would just be this mud color brown mass that would stand in my doorway. And it was so evil that it took so many attempts to try to get rid of it. My mum had to get, friends of hers, other psychics that had to come and try to cleanse it out. And eventually it went and it left me alone. But when we moved from that place, my brother's friend was still living in the street at the time, and he told us that the new people were saying that the house is haunted, the house is haunted. So it obviously stayed around. But yeah, I just had so many dark attacks and encounters. I think when I became okay with who I am and things started to settle down, I would probably say when I had children, I became a lot more still. I wasn't as restless. And that's when I started to embrace, okay, this isn't just something you want to do. It's not a career. This is actually who you are. You don't know any different. This has been your whole life, so you can't run from it. But I spent a long time trying to run from it and reinvent myself and wanting to be something different. I've still done that sometimes. There's still been gaps in my career where I've taken a couple of years off and I just haven't worked much because I find it difficult just constantly being in that. It can be quite draining.
Well, that's good, because what happens with some psychics and mediums is either they have some kind of chronic illness, or some kind of debilitating injury, or they hadn't fully or were not aware of the importance of putting up strong energetic shields, strong auric shields. Because I bring this up because I've known some psychics who've done readings over the years, and they wound up becoming very sick. And it
Yeah.
seemed to me that they may have taken on board some of that negative energy, because, as you know, nature abhors a vacuum. Supernatural nature really tries to rush in and fill the void. Whenever there's a break or a crack in someone's auric shield, they're going to kind of come in, try to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
In the time we got left in this first segment, it's been a fascinating discussion, and thank you for taking us on this journey with you. You've got the ability, the second sight. You can see the entities overshadowing people. You can see the darkness around them. When did you realize that this wasn't just kind of a random thing? Some people have entity attachments, some don't. When did it dawn on you that this was like a global phenomenon that the mankind itself seemed to be under some kind of predatory, demonic, evil attack. And also, since the rollout of the treatment, so-called, have you noticed an increase in people? They've been described variously as NPCs, what have you, but I'm seeing across the board more and more people just absolutely losing their shit and just going crazy and just being completely entity infested. So it's kind of a two-part question. When did it dawn on you that this is a global phenomenon, that mankind is under attack, and this is spiritual warfare we're involved in? And secondly, what's your perception of the masses since the rollouts the last few years?
The first part of the question, I would say I noticed it as a child. And anyone that knows me will sort of confirm this, that I hated from a child, I used to find it strange that I was in this place. It just felt so weird. And I would almost feel like I was an observer just looking through a window, and I'd be like, I can't really believe I'm here. Like, what is this place? I just felt so out of my element. I didn't like being in the human body, and I still don't. I've got this fear of death because I don't like the thought of it, the body decays and it's a physical thing. I don't like funerals and that you're going to be around a dead body. It all grosses me out because I can't wrap my head around that we're actually in physical bodies. I still have a real difficulty because I've lived most of my life, with my head in the spirit world. So it's just really strange to me. But as a child, we lived in a place that had a lot of criminals. So there were a lot of criminals that had just gotten out of jail, and there were a lot of drug addicts and domestic violence and horrible things. So you could say, you got this really spiritual, sensitive, little shy child was just plonked in the middle of like a ghetto. And all that dark energy was just, I could feel immediately, like from such a young age. It's probably where I learned to read people even better. Like where I did my training was in the front line of the trenches because they were criminals, murderers, rapists. We had pedophiles driving around all the time. I got followed home from the shop, around that time our parents would make us go to the shop and buy milk and bread and things like that. So I got to become aware. My senses became even sharper because I knew, oh, that man's following me. I saw his car go around before. And then I would, cross the road and he would drive this way really slow and be looking. My friend and I one night, actually the friend that I saw the big mothership UFO with, we were walking to her house late at night, and a car came around, pulled up in front of us, put the high beams on so we couldn't see. We were like blinded like this. And my friend was lucky enough to see. He opened the door and got out. So he was going to try to drag us in the car while we were being blinded by these lights. And it just so happens because we were young and fit, we were able to run up this really steep hill. He tried to chase us and couldn't catch us. See, he was like puffing out and couldn't sort of keep up, and we kept running as fast as we could all the way home. But these things happened all the time. So I was very aware of probably more darkness than good in the world. I came across more entity-infested people than not. And that's a horrible thing, but that was from, when I was young enough to know. It was just dark, dark people. And my brother and sister were kidnapped. They were held captive by this man when we were young. Terrible things happened. So the entity infested presence, I don't remember not seeing that. That was like from the minute I opened my eyes, I feel like I recognized that. I could just see that in people, and they were very predatory. So to answer your question on that, it was probably always. I think as I've gotten older, I tried to look for more good because I saw so much dark. With the second part of what happened the last few years, absolutely people are not the same, and I know people personally in my family who are not the same that I used to be close to. And one thing I noticed myself, all the trauma and the things that I've been through growing up over the years, when I'm going through that, and a lot of people this happens to, if you were going through some sort of grief, heavy grief period, your senses become really heightened. So you're on edge about everything, and that includes your psychic abilities as well. So even when you're going through trauma, and that's why they like to keep us in a state of trauma, because your psychic abilities will actually be really high. The problem is you won't be able to control it like you can if you're a trained psychic. So if you're in a good place and you're a trained psychic, your psychic abilities will be quite high. If you're not in a good place, even as a trained psychic, your psychic abilities are really high. They shoot through the roof because everything's raw. You just got this raw emotion of everything. But it's chaotic, and it almost makes you feel like you're going crazy. There's a chaos to it. So it can't be controlled and contained. It'll eventually wear you out. So what I noticed with the last few years is all of that trauma that we went through, I felt numb. I felt like my abilities were shut down, like someone had put a blanket over me. And that's why I gave the background with the traumatic things I've been through in the past, even when I was going through the most stressful thing that you could imagine as a person. My psychic abilities were through the roof. I felt so sensitive, like it was all heightened. I was sensitive to everything. Didn't get that the last few years. And I feel like they've done something, like they've almost put this blanket over all of us. And it's not just the ones who have taken, the stabs. It's everybody. Even if you didn't, there was some type of attack that we've all been under. We haven't actually escaped it, whether you got it or not. And there's just been this heavy darkness that I feel is kind of lifting a little bit now recently. But it's not, I still don't feel as heightened as I used to. There's something's lost, something's definitely changed, put us on a different timeline. And, that's why I was praying and hoping that Trump did actually get in, because I'm hoping we can turn this ship around and get it back, because they did something to all of us that numbed our senses. They're not the same. They're not as bad as, the ones who went that step further. I don't even know who half of those people are anymore, but they're definitely not the same, not the people that I know. And it's quite sad. So something is taking over them, and people are almost acting like they're being remotely controlled by a lunatic. It's like they can just, detonate someone at a certain point to do something. They've lost control of their own mind. like their ability to think and make their own choices. They're now being controlled by something higher. And I feel like when I say remote control, like a robot, because I feel like that's what they're becoming, you know, in a lot of ways.
Highly emotive, emotionally overwrought robots, but robots nonetheless.
Yeah.
High anxiety, stressed out, poor impulse control. This system, this Luciferian system, has made it cool and chic and trendy to be emotionally overwrought. It's so people think that's a way to express themselves. The things like class and decorum and moral compass, that's all gone out the window. And hopefully what I'm encouraged by with this election, it's only been the last few hours now. It's a lot of here to there, but before we can get to the finish line, right? No telling what's going to happen. But to me, the encouraging part about it is, the people have spoken. We're tired of all this evil crap. We're tired of them pushing all this woke stuff down our throats. They're tired of the deliberate targeting of children. The people have spoken. So I'm not one of those people who are so hypercritical. Everyone has to be at the same level of understanding. Everyone has to know what you and I know, which is nonsense. Everyone can make a contribution at whatever level of awareness or consciousness or understanding of what's going on. Each in our own way, we can make a huge difference. So all across the board, Americans, and by extension, people all over the world that were cheering on and hoping for this result, this is the will of the people saying, no, we're not putting up with this anymore. So I'm really encouraged by that, actually. Well, we've had a fascinating first segment. Kate, do you want to provide a means for the listening audience to get a hold of you, or do you want to wait until have people contact you through me or whatever you want to do, or go to your Facebook page or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I mean, we can display that underneath, put some links.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll get information out. That'll be part of the
So I've got a new
subpage for the
channel
center.
starting as well that I'm really excited about. And I'll be interviewing lots of people, wanting to interview people that have had abduction experiences, because I think I was saying to you a couple of months ago that I want to put ufology back in the hands of the experiences. I feel
Yes.
like, in a way, it's become academics
Yes.
now.
Or whistleblowers, right?
Yeah.
Instead of the
And
people that have had the experiences.
yeah, I want to hear again from real people that are having experiences, because that was really the crux of it before. And it's now it's just disclosure and lights in the sky, and which I find it
Well,
just
look
bores
at the
me to
hit
death.
piece Netflix just did against Linda Napolitano. They did this
Yeah.
whole hit piece against her. They made a point of bringing this skeptical debunker accuser lady, never even seen hide nor hair of her. They just drag her out of the woodwork to just try and defame and besmirch the reputation of Linda Napolitano. And Linda Napolitano, just one of many other people who claimed to have had experiences. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, it's not even unique what she went through, right? And
Yeah.
but by defaming her and demonizing her, by extension, they're demonizing us
Yeah.
and trying to silence us, and that's not going to happen. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, and thank you for bringing that up, because we can delve into the more woo stuff in the second segment. To our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to the cosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.